Welcome to Health Naturally on 2NUR FM. Dennis Stewart, great to see you once again.
Very good to see you, Greg, in your green T-shirt today.
I thought I'd blend in with the background
here. Is that a statement of politics, your green T-shirt?
No, I don't think so.
It's just green.
It's just green, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I'll take your word.
Now, Dennis, you had a few things to talk about last week. You talked about circulation.
Yes.
And hot herbs.
We did. We spoke about hot herbs as being used for what might be referred to as a constitutional coldness. People who are always cold, but as we get older, get colder. And I spoke about the benefit of what are called warming herbs,
yep.
Herbs such as ginger and cayenne, and herbs that have an effect throughout the system to create a sense of warmth accompanied by an improvement generally in circulation. I spoke about that.
Yep.
But I also touched on an interesting substance that's called a bioflavonoid.
Bioflavonoid.
You're learning, yes, yeah. Bioflavonoid. Now, they're the safest active principles in food and medicines. They're plant-based substances, and we spoke about rutin, R-U-T-I-N, and we spoke about its significant usefulness in dealing with the tendency that accelerates as we get older, a proneness to bruise easily as a result of what I refer to as capillary fragility. And rutin, which is extracted from plants, is one of the most proven substances for helping that. And I have some good feedback from patients who take rutin regularly to lessen the tendency for bruising as a result of just bumping into something,
mm-hmm.
or as a result of being on some medications. I say that again to listeners out there. Don't underestimate that substance. Rutin, R-U-T-I-N, a bioflavonoid, very safe, very economical and available from our good pharmacies and health food stores.
All right, we'll touch on that a little bit later.
We will indeed. We'll touch on a very famous herb also.
Very famous herb?
Oh, yes, indeed. Oh, bit of a story about it. Oh. I'll keep you intrigued. Although you are learning fast on my programs, I have noticed the times that we have spent together, that you are becoming much more skilled in your pronunciation of botanical language, and you're able to read my writing, which is a movement in the right direction.
Oh, that's the pronunciation's a very big call.
listeners, I congratulate to like this bloke. He's not a bad commentator, and we get on well. Now, go on and do it, Greg. Do your job.
Right, it's Health Naturally on 2NURFM. Now, last week, Dennis, and you just mentioned it before then, about constitutional coldness and also, what was it, help bruising?
Rutin, R-U-T-I-N. It is a bioflavonoid, Greg. Bioflavonoid is a constituent in many plants and herbs. Very, very safe. There are many of them. Rutin is one of them, and it has a reputation, a significant and very credible reputation, well documented, for reducing what's called capillary fragility. That's when the small blood vessels at the surface of the skin, if I keep it simple, become very fragile, particularly in an ageing process, when they bruise easily. You see, many elderly people, sometimes myself, will have bruising that is associated sometimes with just a casual
bump or something.
Yeah, that's a good point. And yet it leaves a disproportionately large bruise. This is where rutin, taken as a supplement, and I say to elderly people particularly, it's a really good supplement, not only for bruising, but as a general circulatory improver, particularly for wintertime conditions. And because it's so economical, it's a good appendage to our routine of taking supplements. In my opinion, we take too many supplements, and many of them, in my view, are useless. But with rutin, a bioflavonoid, the documentation associated with them is very significant. And so I have no problem at all in promoting that and recommending it to get from our good health food stores and our pharmacies, something that can help not only the tendency for bruising but stimulate repair of it and also help as a general circulatory tonic to promote peripheral circulation. We spoke earlier about hot herbs, and by that I mean the regular ongoing use of herbs that have a warming effect on the body. which promotes, due to a well-known pharmacology, promotes stimulation to all parts of the body, but particularly the peripheries. But I should mention also, and I was thinking about this coming down from the valley this morning, the hot herbs, the herbs that we should have in our diet or as a supplement, the cayennes, the gingers, the regular ingestion of curries. These foods are renowned also for supporting the respiratory system. And it's been argued, and I read a sensible paper on this, that the less or the, how can you call it, in Asian countries where smoking is perhaps a lot more popular than what it is in our country now, the incidence of respiratory conditions, paradoxically, is not great. And this has been put down in a paper on hot herbs written by a chap called Zimmerman, who was associated with the World Health Organization. This is put down to the way in which these herbs and their circulatory benefit, not only to the peripheries, but also to the respiratory system, can be seen as having a tonic effect on the respiratory mucosa. They have a mucolytic effect, that is, they break up mucus and, generally speaking, promote a healthier respiratory functioning, a protective role. This has been put down as perhaps part of the explanation for the relatively different status of health conditions in some Asian countries. So I mentioned that as further encouragement for people with respiratory conditions, the regular ongoing ingestion, not just casually, but even in a capsule, a tea, on food, but regularly it's probably easier to do in an encapsulated form or as a herbal tea. These things, when persevered with, and this is the clue, a lot of what I say on this program is not seen to be just associated with treating a disease that can be resolved overnight. I'm talking about a preventative system, and hot herbs are not only good to promote peripheral circulation, they have profound effects on the respiratory system. As rutin is a bioflavonoid that protects the capillaries and lessens the bruising characteristic, so hot warming herbs have peripheral values and also respiratory values. But today, I want to take up looking at one of the most remarkable herbs that I think is still underestimated and underappreciated in our community, particularly medically. And I want to talk about the herb that listeners have heard me speak about over the years, and that is the herb ginkgo biloba. And I've spoken about ginkgo and its proven benefits in addressing some causes or some levels of tinnitus, ringing in the ears, and there is no doubt in my mind that it does sustain that reputation of being useful when it's taken over an extended period of time. Ginkgo will not work much under about 3 or 4 months. And I say that to listeners who say frequently, look, I tried the ginkgo, but it doesn't really help me very much. And I inevitably say to them, how long did you take it for? Oh, I took it for a couple of weeks or so. Wasting your time, my friend. The ginkgo, if we start talking about it now, the first thing I must say is that it is a herb for chronic use, a long-term taking of it, 3 or 4 months before one can expect any serious ability to assess its benefits.
All right, so we'll get a bit more on ginkgo.
I want to.
But firstly, we've got Caroline from West Wallsend, and she's got a granddaughter who at 4 years old became septic after a tonsillectomy.
Mm. Look, Carolyn, what I would say here is I can't think of a better herb to recommend for this dear young lady than the herb Echinacea, Echinacea.
Mm-hmm.
Echinacea is a herb that I guess I had a lot to do with in establishing its reputation, particularly for kids' conditions. I remember as a young practitioner practicing on the Central Coast in Gosford, I used to see a lot of kids with tonsil conditions, eustachian tube catarrhal conditions,
yep.
and kids that didn't thrive after they had had a treatment on antibiotics or had gone through a procedure. Echinacea, simple as it might sound, is a herb that is of significant benefit for kids as far as supporting their developing immune systems in resisting infection and also promoting recovery as a tonic remedy. I used to talk about echinacea in my early lecturing career in fairly lay language and talk about it as being, if you like, a remedy with significant ability to help young people's conditions, particularly associated with the ear, nose and throat. And I still see it as an underrated remedy, particularly for kids. The only thing that I would say is a child like 4 or 5 years of age, even in taking like something like echinacea, should run it past the doctor or the pharmacist or the person responsible for keeping an eye on your granddaughter. Generally speaking, it's an exceptionally safe herb. So safe that it would probably be the most prescribed herb that mm-hmm. I use, because it forms such an important component of recovery remedies and building up resistance to infection and being useful for addressing the drift towards tonsillectomy, the drift towards glue ear and other conditions that kids get. Echinacea, ideally in a liquid form. Now, you can get that from your pharmacist or a medical herbalist, readily available. But the reason for giving it in a liquid form is that the dosage would be very, very low. And with echinacea, it is a low-dose herb, but for a child 4 to 5 years of age, you're talking about drop doses if one is using a standard 1-to-1 fluid extract. So I have no reservation in recommending that herb as potentially very useful for retrieving your granddaughter's health subsequent to her tonsillectomy and also building up her general resistance to infection. Does she also have ear problems, eustachian tube catarrh, ear blockage and things like that?
Yes, she had a grommet inserted as well. Okay.
Is she blue-eyed?
Yes, she is.
Yes, there you go. You usually find that in young people, 4 to 5 years of age, this tendency to develop eustachian tube catarrh leading to glue ear and also leading to tonsillar conditions is very characteristic of blue-eyed kids. My eldest daughter was a classic good example of what I'm talking about. Now, what I mean, this is not to be seen as, a scientific statement, but it's an observation made that blue-eyed kids, particularly with little white flecks. She's got those? Yeah, there you go. There you go. Now, that constitution responds very, very well to echinacea. As I've said, run it past your doctor, tell him what you've learnt, and he might begin to use it also.
Oh, he might. How long would you say she could use it for?
Oh, look, it's very safe, but because she's a developing child, I would say a short period of time until she's fully got over the tonsillectomy until she's demonstrated that she's got better resistance to these conditions that kids of her nature, complexion, eye colour, etc., get. So think about that. But
I will.
Yeah, echinacea for the kids.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Thanks for your help.
Thanks, Carolyn.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Now, Dennis, you want to talk about ginkgo today?
Yes, I do.
But before we get to that, we've got a couple more calls to get to. We've got Leonie from Brankston, and her son's got some problems with some skin conditions on his neck and his knee. Afternoon, Leonie.
Hello. Thank you.
Hello, Leonie. How can we help you?
Yes, hello. Thank you. My son, he is actually in America at the moment, and we're going to go over there in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
So he has, he's travelling around when he was in France.
Yes.
He had, he thought it was ringworm.
Yes.
Came up on his knee, his wrist and his neck.
Yes.
He actually rang, had a phone consult with a doctor to put him on ivermectin, dip and a cream of diprazone, and I don't know what the other one is, P-E-V-A-R-Y-L.
Mm-hmm.
So he was on the cream for a month, and when he went to America, it came back on his neck again, and it's actually stopping him from doing things.
Okay.
And then he is on a cream now. I've been trying to find the name of that while I was on hold, but I can't find what the name is, and he's only just finished that. So I'm not sure if it's going to flare up again, but he doesn't. He wants natural things. He doesn't want to take antibiotics.
Has he stopped taking ivermectin?
Yes, he stopped taking that.
What was probably in the European doctor's mind was that it was associated with something like a parasite, and ivermectin preparations are sometimes used for that. It's not popular in this country. I'm not sure whether it's even prescribed in this country, but European doctors use it. So it's been interpreted along similar lines, if you like, that there is a microbial background to it, and the attempt of the doctor to interpret it as a ringworm and treat it accordingly was probably not a bad thing to do, but none of it has worked. So
no.
if it is something that is like a ringworm, and if it is a fungal condition. Is it itchy as well, did he say?
Yes.
Okay, look, I recommend a couple of things that you could take over which would have no real issues with them. The first thing is to take a tea tree-based ointment.
Yep.
Now, tea tree is antimicrobial, very effective also, very, very effective for fungal conditions. And on the skin, I have prescribed it for years for fungally-based conditions that occur around, under the arms, in the groin, under the breasts, etc. It's worthwhile giving a go. If it looks like a ringworm, if that was an accurate diagnosis on the part of the European doctor...
Yes, it was only a phone call fault too.
Yeah. Well, it's worthwhile giving a try on tea tree oil if it is itchy and if it is associated, say, with a fungal condition or a parasitic type thing. If that doesn't help, and I'd be surprised if it didn't, take a second cream known as the GA cream. Now, the GA cream is a preparation that I had a lot to do. It's still one of my backbone remedies for attempting to treat inflammatory, itching, irritable skin conditions such as dermatitis or eczema. Did your son ever have eczema?
Yes, he's had different skin problems,
Okay, and this probably means that, it could be, therefore, that this is an emergence of the skin condition that he's had throughout his life. Is he also asthmatic?
No.
Okay. I would suggest that if it is associated with an eczema or a dermatitis condition that he seems to have struggled with throughout his life, try the GA cream.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that with you, and that's natural cream based on the extract of licorice, and it's in a zinc oxide base, and it's very soothing, and has a mild anti-inflammatory action. And in conjunction even with tea tree-based creams, in my opinion, that's got a potential to help his condition. When is he coming back?
Open-ended.
Okay, oh, I see.
Sure.
Okay. Look, if he has no benefit with this, if he emails you or emails me, I can get back to him depending on how he's gone.
Thank you.
Because... US is a great country, and I use a lot of American herbs. God bless American herbs and American herbalists, even though they were persecuted in the land of the free for quite some time, a little bit different now. But sometimes they don't have And I say this not in any discriminatory way, but what I have found is that there doesn't seem to be the depth of knowledge as to natural remedies and their medical use in the US as there is in Australia.
Mm, yep.
And therefore, I have no hesitation in saying, look, give him a try, tea tree-based cream or ointment to cover any potential ringworm-type condition, and also the GA cream to ease the itch and the inflammation that he's experiencing.
Thank you. Is that something that I should come into
You can get it from Bowen's Clinic in Cumberland Street in Cessnock.
Okay, yes.
Over the counter, you will not need to see a practitioner.
All right, wonderful. Thank you very, very much for your help.
Thanks,
and have
Leanne.
A great day.
Okay,
thank you.
It's Health Naturally on 2NURFM, and we've got time for a few more calls. We've got Phil from Lambton, and he's got a question about wax on apples. Afternoon, Phil.
Hello.
Hello, Phil.
Hello, Dennis. Yeah, I eat pretty well an apple a day on my porridge at breakfast of the morning.
Keeps the doctor away, Phil. Keeps the doctor away.
I'm sorry?
An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Yes.
Keeps the naturopath away too.
My concern was I've scraped the apple with a sharp knife and there's quite a bit of wax comes off them. Should I eat that wax or should I peel the apple or is there something I can use to remove the wax so I can eat the skin as well, which is beneficial?
Look, that's a difficult one to answer, Phil, but from experience, with considerable experience, my four children were raised on the original muesli, which was developed by a Swiss gentleman, and Birka Benner, which was the basis of his muesli. And muesli was essentially a grated apple dish blended with rolled oats, sprinkled with lemon juice and topped with yogurt. My kids were raised on that, so they ate a lot of apples, and they were not fancy apples. Admittedly, they were grated apples. We never saw any problem with it. And I think that if there were to be any problem with it, it would be not legal to have it on a food. So I would be suggesting that the little bit of wax that you ingest, in my opinion, and I have to say that term, in my opinion, would be inconsequential, and I wouldn't agonise over, eating an apple that's been waxed to present it and make it more attractive, admittedly, but I can't see how it would interfere with the benefit of the apple or needs to be worked at. If you peel an apple, sometimes you're peeling the best part of it.
That's my concern.
Yeah. That may be a concern, but again, I come back to the point that it's something that's been going on in the food industry, and I'm quite happy with that. My kids were raised on a lot of apples. I eat apples. I don't think it means that much, Phil. Now, some would disagree with me, but I don't think so.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
See you, Dennis. Bye-bye.
We've got Vivian from Hawk's Nest, and she's using blood thinners as well as what we've been talking about today, Dennis, rutin.
Hello, Vivian.
Hello, Dennis. How are you?
I'm very well. Tell me about your situation.
Well, I was just listening to you earlier.
Yes.
And I'm on heart medication and blood thinners.
Yes.
And I was wondering if rutin would be able to be taken. Would it be an additional thing to help?
I tend to think that it would be useful. But again, you've heard me long enough to know that the people that manage us medically are those best qualified to pass a final tick to what I recommend. There are so many people using rutin and many of them elderly people, and many of them would be on either aspirin or clopidogrel or some of the other agents that thin the blood today. I'm not aware of any of them suffering consequentially. and I would think that rutin could be useful. It's a bioflavonoid. It's difficult to see it interacting in any way with the chemistry of blood thinners. But again, run it past your doctor, particularly if you're if you have other conditions. But I'm sure he will see that it is a very innocuous substance, and and unless there is some you know profound reason as to why it might not be applicable, well, I would see it as being useful. Certainly, a lot of elderly patients that I see that take aspirin preventatively, and I think that's not a bad idea. 100 milligrams of aspirin as a preventative device against clotting, etc. Some of them will tend to experience a little bit of bruising. They do well on rutin.
Right. Well, I'm on Xarelto.
Yes, I know it well.
I don't bruise easily.
Well, that's good. That's good. If you are not bruising, that implies that your capillary structure is pretty good. But the other thing about rutin is that it has also some great benefits in supporting circulation, particularly to the peripheries, and is a good cold weather supplement to take. It's used a lot also for, well, not that we get frostbite, but in cold countries it's used for that. Chilblains.
I get very cold.
Well, Chilblains is particularly responsive to rutin. Yeah. Come wintertime, it might be something to think about. But if you want to follow it up, have a talk with your medical man and let him make either an agreement with me or a disagreement with me.
Okay, no, that's fine. He's very flexible and open-minded. But I found your talk about treating dermatitis to be interesting as well.
Yes.
Because I do get hives and I'm allergic to most things.
Yes.
And the echinacea, my granddaughter's had the tonsils, adenoids and everything
out.
I've got very small ear canals and I think she's taken after me. She gets a lot of aching ears.
Yes.
And so I don't think, she does get infections. She's 14 now, so she doesn't sort of seem to get them as much. But she suffered like that all of her life, so... echinacea would have been a good one.
Well, look, echinacea is useful as part of a routine to try to lessen infection tendency, but it sounds as if she might be getting a build-up of what I call catarrh or mucus or congestion in the upper respiratory system. If that is the case, the herb golden seal...
Okay.
Usually in conjunction with echinacea, has an underrated ability to help many conditions of the upper respiratory tract. Look, I've not seen your daughter, and probably I'm shooting from the hip on this, but it's worthwhile giving a try. She can procure those easily from a health food store that stocks herbs. Give them a try. She will soon know.
Well, I make it good for myself as well because I take an antihistamine every night.
Okay. Do you tend to get upper respiratory tract problems, sinus and things like that?
Yeah, I'm asthmatic, so I get a lot.
Okay. Well, I think you could think about what I have said.
You've given me food for thought.
Give it a try. What I mean, my view is the more we can do to help ourselves, the better off we are.
Exactly.
I have worked on this program for nearly 30 or 40 years in various radio stations, and the essence of my preaching or teaching or recommendations is to get people taking an interest in doing themselves a favour by starting to help themselves. We have become too dependent, far, far too dependent on medicine, modern medicine. Mm. It's necessary and we need it. But for goodness sake, we should see that a lot of the things that we present to our doctors with are things that in a previous generation would have been helped at home.
And from your own garden.
And from your own garden. Thank you. That's a good statement. Let's get back to growing our food, for goodness sake.
Well, we do a little bit, but not a lot.
Good on you. Well, look, we've got right back into our garden, and And it's not, you don't need to have a lot of garden to be able to get a bit of a feed out of it.
Got time for one more call. We've got Diane from Anna Bay, and her granddaughter's got a few issues at the moment. Afternoon, Diane.
Good afternoon, or is it morning still?
No, it's still afternoon.
Hello, Dennis. Are you there?
Hello, Diane. Nice to talk to you.
You too. I'm just didn't know whether you had anything along the lines of anything herbal or anything to help my granddaughter, who, since she was probably about three, only started sucking her thumb, but it's the hair playing with the thumb sucking that has become the issue. So her side of her head's quite short hair and baldy, and she's going to school next year, so we're hoping to conquer something before then, yeah.
Look, this is obviously something that can't be solved with a herb as such. Is the child an anxious child?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so, but she could be holding anxiousness, I guess. Doesn't seem like she is. She does dancing at concerts and things. She's not...
Okay. Look, the only consolation that I can give here, and it may be not very much, is that two of my grandsons who lived with us from a very, very early age, both of them were thumb suckers.
Yes.
And sucked their thumbs for quite some time. When they got to school, it became much, much less, and very quickly it dissipated. So I don't place too much emphasis on that, because they're both now in their late 20s, happy, young, healthy young men with good teeth that I paid for. So all I would say is, look, I've got no answer to it. The child will tend to grow out of it. With reference to the hair, this is no solution either, but I twisted my hair right up until I was not just a young man, but a fairly elderly man. I don't do it now, but I can remember even my wife used to say, stop twisting your hair. Look, that's no consolation to you, but I tend to think that, look, let it take its course. It'll be right when she gets to school. And when she starts to glamorise and look at her hair and realise how beautiful she is, that'll be the biggest encouragement for her to stop pulling it out.
Yeah.
That wasn't much help to you, but never mind.
I personally just sucked my own thumb, and I'm one of seven. I think five out of the seven of us all sucked our thumb.
We have these strange characteristics, don't we?
So, just hope that it passes when she's bored and when she got a lot more to do, I guess, at school.
I think you're right, Diane.
Okay, then. Nice to talk to you anyway.
And thank you, Diane.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Jeez, thanks, Diane. Dennis, we've got about a minute 30 left, we can't really get into ginkgo as much as
I want to talk to
ginkgo,
and I want to talk about ginkgo, but time's beaten us. But I want to just mention there is a condition known as intermittent claudication. That is the medical term for a very serious condition, poor circulation to the legs, that is affecting the musculature and lessening the person's ability to walk comfortably and eventually to create painful walking. Ginkgo is a remedy of underestimated value, in my opinion, for treating what's called medically intermittent claudication, and I have evidence from my own practice experience as to how that is truthful. Many people that suffer intermittent claudication, painful walking, could benefit from a long-term exposure to the right dosage of the ginkgo. And I'll talk more about that next week, but it's one of the leading remedies for chronic, poor circulatory disorders that are affecting mobility. That's a pretty important number. So ginkgo for intermittent claudication. But again, I come back to the point, this is not something that's going to fix things overnight. Ginkgo, to have any benefit, needs to be worked at for a long period of time. A person with that condition, intermittent claudication, painful walking, is not going to experience a ginkgo benefit much under about 3 months, and that's taking the ginkgo in the right dose, not just something off the shelf with a haphazard dose on it, a professional preparation of the ginkgo.
Well, Dennis Stewart, we're sadly out of time, but was ginkgo, that was your your favourite herb you were talking about at the beginning?
Oh, yeah. Look, I wanted to rave about that. I'll take it up again next week. But you won't be with me.
No, I'll be back with you next week.
Oh, will you? Well, there you go. There we go. What a time we'll have.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.